Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. It is October 29th, 2024, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Jeff, and I am the host for this show called Lean In with Jeff. I discuss various topics ranging from movies, literature, creative works, poetry, and I also conduct interviews with people in different professions and areas of study, trying to grasp on the multiple types of cultures and opinions and perspectives that we can all offer each other. And through that, I just try to widen my scope of audience, because I think everyone has a piece to share, and I think that we should all have this opportunity. But yeah, I hope you guys are having a great afternoon. I am hoping that most of your guys' midterms are over or close to being finished up. It has definitely been a very busy couple of weeks, and I know some students who still have some left. Good luck to you all. And for those of you who have finished, give yourself a break and really enjoy the week, at least, if you have time to just relax and, you know, have some fun, because it can definitely be a very tough experience if you're just going at it for long hours without any breaks. So I hope you guys have a chance to just relax, have some fun, spend some time with friends and family, and gain back that energy to work hard again in a couple weeks for either the second wave of midterms or final exams. We are officially almost a month, maybe a month and some change left until the semester is over. So please hang in there, everyone. You guys are almost done this semester, which is crazy because I feel like this year it really is going by so fast. And I don't know if everyone else is feeling the same way, but, you know, the semester has really flown by and it has been a long but short semester at the same time for me. But I'm excited to, you know, wrap this year up. Halloween is coming, everyone, so I hope you guys are ready for it. It's going to be on Thursday, and I'm excited to see all of your guys' costumes and, you know, what kind of creative outfits you guys are coming up with. I think it's always a very entertaining sight to, you know, walk around campus and see different types of costumes that everyone is wearing. CITR and Discorder, we are hosting a lot of events. Our lovely exec members have been working so hard for this week to hold different types of events. I think tomorrow is going to be karaoke night at CITR from 5 to 6 p.m., I believe. So if you guys are interested in just singing some karaoke, feel free to come down to the station and just sing the song that you feel like you best sing. There's going to be some other great events that are going to be coming up as well. As I mentioned, there's going to be a couple more Halloween events throughout the week. And then Shindig Battle of Bands is happening as well. It's one of the biggest events that we hold at CITR and Discorder. It's, you know, a live music event where we all just go to Redgate, which is a venue at Vancouver, and we listen to some live bands and we choose a final winner at the end. It is a 5-week event, the first 4 weeks, which are in November, and then the first week of December is going to be the finale. If, again, you are interested in just hanging out and just, you know, looking through the event, feel free to come by at Redgate Art Society. And if you want any more details, feel free to come down to the station as well. We are also doing trainings now. And what I mean by trainings, they are going to be for people who are interested in getting more involved with CITR and Discorder. So if you want to, let's say, get involved with Discorder Magazine, or mostly the trainings are, I'd say all the trainings are actually focused more around conducting your own radio show, which I'm doing right now and what I actually went through. And this year I'm actually going to be doing some of the trainings as well, which I'm very excited and have already done two trainings. So if you are interested in maybe starting a show, feel free to come down, maybe take a tour first, and you can sign up for some trainings and learn how to start your own radio show. But yeah, you know, we have a lot of opportunities going on this year. It's getting very busy at the station as well, but, you know, it's always great to see a lot of students and community members just getting involved and having a lot of fun. But why don't we get into today's episode? I am going to be reading out, actually, the proposed story that I mentioned in last week's episode. And it's actually a science fiction story about how the Earth is being consumed by an epidemic of anacondas. And it's actually, I'd say it's a pretty interesting sci-fi fiction story that I wrote. There's a little bit of comedy in it because, you know me, I love romantic comedies. Sadly, this is a science fiction, so I didn't really get a chance to fit in the romance into it. But I did want to add some comedic aspects to lighten the mood a little bit from this whole serious situation that I have written. But yeah, I'll be sharing that story for you guys today, and I have a couple songs that I want to put up with you guys from the continuation of last week's band, because I really enjoyed their songs, and I think you guys should have an opportunity to listen to their songs as well. And finally, we will end off with some wonderful fun facts about a topic I'm going to have you curious about throughout the whole show, and then I will let you know at the end. But without further ado, why don't we get through the station IDs, some ads, and some PSAs, and I will get back to you guys soon. So here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Sakuya, Talit, Sin, Homasque, Mustail. Turn your radio to the CITR 101.9 FM on a Tuesday, specifically at 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. for saxophone Hella Permiti or saxophone Lenui. Hosted by moi, accompanied with the improvisationalists, saxophonists, composers, and musicians of our great era since the 70s. Featuring artists such as Anthony Braxton, Albert Bailey, Solange, Ghostface Killah, Warner Cole, Sonny Ryan,
that's 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. on a Tuesday to listen to saxophone a la Primiti or saxophone Lenui.
It is time to get your spook on. And there's nothing like getting spooky with a good horror film. And this time, Slashback is coming right at you on October 24th. Slashback is a horror film that features Micah and her ragtag group of friends as they take on an alien invasion in their tiny Arctic hamlet. And it's up to them to fight back using makeshift weapons and horror movie knowledge. Arts Indigenous Student Advising is putting on Slashback, a film directed by an Inuit director and set in Nunavut. The horror film will be playing at the Norm Theater this October 24th. Only $5 entry for public, and it's free for all UBC Indigenous students. Doors at 5:45 p.m. We'll see you at the Norm Theater this October 24th. Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TicketLeader.ca.
Dear UBC Indigenous students, applications for the 2024-2025 Intergenerational Wellness Program, which offers traditional Indigenous teachings, stories, dances, food, and ceremonies from across North and Central America, have opened. Attendees will have access to 7 events throughout the 2024-2025 school year. Each event has invited honorable and reputable Indigenous leaders, knowledge keepers, and ceremonialists such as medicine men and medicine women to share their knowledge, wisdom, and healing traditions. Taking part in this one-of-a-kind educational opportunity at UBC helps to reshape and heal Indigenous communities on campus and beyond through revitalizing Indigenous practices and values. Applications are open from September 16th to October 1st, 2024. For more information, please email intergenerational.wellness@ubc.ca. That's intergenerational.wellness@ubc.ca.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. For today's episode, as I mentioned, I will be reading out the story that I have written in a genre of sci-fi and with a blend of comedy as well. It is, for my content tags, I just wanted to let you guys know that I'll be touching upon topics of apocalyptic aspects, genetic engineering, biological horror, some futuristic technology, adventure, survival, friendship, a little bit of neuroscience, and a little bit of brief graphic imagery, and some anacondas, which is actually the main topic, and how the world is in an aspect of destruction. But I hope you guys enjoy this story, and why don't we get into it? It is titled The Rising Extinction in the Anaconda Psyche. I tilted my head skyward and yelled, "My name is Dr. Blair, and I am a genetic engineer." Without hesitation, I maneuvered myself into the deceased anaconda's body. As I breached the serpent's internal cavity, I was immediately assaulted by a warm, fetid atmosphere. The odor that permeated the air was a noxious amalgamation of scents that I could best describe as a fusion of an 8-week-old putrefied protein shake bottle, pungent Korean doenjang, essence of sardine steeped in apple cider vinegar, and the melodious emanations of an athlete's foot fungus left to fester through a week of intense training sessions. I rose to my full height and promptly retrieved my satchel, searching for the hyperprotector suit that Connie had made for my expedition to the Congolian swamp forest. I unfurled the suit onto the moist, organic terrain, then masticated a piece of calcium-infused bubblegum. I blew a bubble, which allowed it to adhere to the suit's surface. I used my Nexus blade and punctured the bubble, triggering a cascade of nanobots that enveloped my body in the protective garment with perfect precision. I swiftly depressed the second knuckle of my ring finger, which elicited a soft click that established a neural link with Connie. As I awaited her response, I surveyed my surroundings, and my jaw involuntarily slackened at the sight before me. The anaconda's internal chamber stretched to 20 meters in width and soared to heights of approximately 50 meters. The inner dermis exhibited a vibrant vermilion hue, its texture reminiscent of a starfish's bumpy epidermis, yet possessing the moistness of a gastropod's underside. The skin was barely visible beneath the hypertrophied spinal structure, which had formed a protective cage-like formation around the internal organs. Upon closer examination, I noticed that the bones lacked any discernible porosity, appearing completely sealed. This observation led me to the startling realization that my experimental compound had not only augmented the creature's size, but had also dramatically increased its skeletal density. I approached the large intestine, which was sheathed in a translucent amber-tinted membranous shield. As the organs pulsated with the snake's final autonomic responses, the membrane undulated with fluid, mimicking the serpentine motions of water. However, as I drew nearer to the organs, I detected the presence of hair-like filaments, each measuring approximately 15 centimeters in length. These primary filaments were adorned with thousands of microscopic secondary hairs, far finer than the vellus hair found on human ears. The filaments vibrated in a distinct pattern, reminiscent of a complex language or code. I blinked twice, activating my neural language codifier, and synchronized my ocular movements with the filament's vibrations. Simultaneously, I perceived a high-pitched, mosquito-like sound that vibrated in harmony with the visual pattern, albeit at half the tempo. I engaged my auditory codifier to translate the meanings. "We know," is what I read from the translation. The neuralink crackled to life, and I immediately heard Connie masticating through the audio feed. Her holographic image materialized on the left screen of my retinal display, backdropped by her laboratory. My visual field was momentarily obscured by a spray of chip fragments as Connie exclaimed, "Looking sharp, Dr. Blair. That color scheme is absolutely lovely, Doc." I rolled my eyes in exasperation and inquired, "Connie, why in the name of science are you eating those chips right now? Those were specifically allocated for the scenario in which the world comes to a complete anaconda infestation, allowing me to finally deviate from my strict carnivorous diet and indulge in some processed sustenance." Connie's eyes froze as she glanced behind her at the now depleted chip repository. "Dr. Blair, I may have ate the entire stock," she admitted sheeplessly. "Fine, whatever," I sighed, "but what's with this lurid pink hue of the suit I explicitly requested black?" Connie emptied the remaining crumbs into her mouth and leaned closer to her microphone. "Well, you see, black isn't exactly the most strategic color choice right now, considering you're in the forest, Dr. Blair. The anacondas would still be able to see you." "Pink is even more conspicuous, Connie," I retorted. "Yes, well, at least if you die, you will die with fashion," she equipped. "Are you kidding me? You are just..." I swallowed my frustration and performed another of those infernal 7-second breathing exercises that my wife had recommended. "All right, Connie," I said, regaining my composure. "Now teach me how to procure a sample. I need to transmit this peculiar filament to you for analysis." Connie quickly wheeled back 2 meters behind her desk, retrieved an air jump pack, and affixed it to her hand. With a gentle squeeze, she propelled herself 3 meters skyward, effortlessly reaching the 24th cabinet in the lab. She descended onto the cushion bubble I had crafted for her birthday, a unique concoction of calcium hydroxide, trisodium phosphate, and a dash of pink food coloring, a nod to her preferences. She extracted a crystalline substance container and placed it into the transport incubator beside her desk, transmitting it directly to my suit. "Put it in the container, Doc, and send it over." I deftly opened the cap atop my right toe, withdrew the glass container, inserted the enigmatic filament, and dispatched it to Connie for analysis. "Dr. Blair," Connie's voice crackled through the comm, "these are highly advanced nerve cells, allowing the anacondas to comprehend diverse languages, including our own." I unconsciously bit my lower lip, pacing with nervous energy. "Connie, I need you to recalibrate my elect needle gun, this time not merely to immobilize the anaconda, but to deactivate these filaments, preventing further encroachment into human habitats." Connie stopped chewing as her visage froze on the holographic display. "Dr. Blair, the anacondas have already spread through the village and are heading towards Uganda. The houses, peoples, crops, they've all vanished from the village." "Estimated number in motion?" I inquired as my cheeks hollowed slightly. 20,000. "Time frame for elect needle gun operability?" I've just registered the data into the gun, so maybe 5 minutes? "Thank you, Connie. I apologize again for keeping you in the lab. I know this is all my fault. My drug, it was meant to curb anaconda overpopulation, which it did at first, but I didn't know the surviving species would annihilate." Connie thrust her face towards the camera, her nose comically distorted against the lens. "Dr. Blair, this isn't your fault. Your dumb partner, Morin, messed with the chemical composition, creating this mess. So technically, it's only partially your fault. I'm kidding, of course, plus you're the most brilliant professor I've ever had, so let's do this." I hastily wiped a tear from my left eye and quickly exited the anaconda's corpse. As I emerged out, the forest stood desolate. Desiccated leaves crumbled beneath my feet. With each step, their whisper-thin remnants dissolving into the dust. Eviscerated tree trunks hung like flayed skin. Their exposed innards riddled the cavernous holes mimicking the anaconda's fangs. I approached a nearby lake for hydration, but my eyes caught prismatic orbs floating midstream, their crystalline surfaces refracting eerie light. Instinct propelled me behind the nearest skeletal tree as a realization dawned that it was another anaconda. Unsheathing my electro needle gun, I witnessed an infant anaconda the size of 3 school buses slithered from the depths, their scales a kaleidoscope of iridescent horror. As my vision adjusted back to the mother, its head was already breached out the surface looking at me. I stood up and aimed my ray gun directly at the anaconda's face. When I fired, instead of paralyzing it, the shot merely dislodged a few scales from its snout. One scale fell before me like a shield. Despite having killed its cells, it landed with a metallic clang akin to tungsten, striking earth, leaving a 2-inch dent in the dirt. As I pressed my finger knuckle to contact Connie, the anaconda coiled around me. I heard the sharp crackling of scales grinding against each other as a serpent's coil constricted around my waist, tighter by each second. I attempted to stab it with my knife, but its skin was impenetrable. The anaconda gradually lifted me toward its eye. Its golden olive fork tongue flickered as my heart raced at 185 minutes per beat. I gasped, "I have a new drug for you. It will make you more powerful and larger. You just need to trust me." As the anaconda's mouth opened, revealing its glistening fangs, Connie's voice broke through the audio. "Dr. Blair, the elect needle gun is ready. Quickly, press your chest with your chin." I pressed as hard as I could, and the elect needle gun materialized in my hand. I fired at the anaconda. The anaconda dropped me, and I plummeted 15 feet from the air. "Connie, I think my ankle's fractured." All right, so that is it for my story. That is a story about how the creation of a drug that was initially intended to stop the overpopulation of anacondas was actually backfired, as the drug had a side effect to the ones that survived, which was that they got huge. And when I say huge, they became insanely big. And through that, I incorporated some futuristic elements of creating new gadgets for the protagonists to use, the suit that they wear, which is very interesting, and I wish it was in real life because of how many different functions it can actually have. I hope you guys enjoy the story. There's a lot of science with mixture of futuristic gadgets that are that gives the story more of a fictional approach, which was intended as this is a science fiction story. I particularly focused on the idea of how the suit is or contains the aspect of transportation in terms of like materials. And I wanted to focus on this aspect because in our world right now, we can use our phones to contact each other across the world. And that was through, you know, visual imagery and audio as well. But the objects, it's possible, which we do, you know, through shipping across the world and all. But the conveniency is, in a way, not there in terms of the speed. And so, in this case, one of the protagonists, Connie, could actually export the gadget within minutes after creating it. And so I guess in that way it's very futuristic in the sense of how convenient and the level of conveniency that was portrayed through this scene. But that's all I have for you guys today. Once again, if you guys have any comments on the story itself, feel free to call the number 604-822-2487, and I am more than welcome. I will more than welcome you to my show, but also to discuss the story as well. For the next couple minutes, I will be sharing some of the songs that I've listened to from the band Emblematics. They are a Calgary indie rock band, and I enjoy their songs, actually, and I hope you guys will enjoy them as well. The first song that I have for you guys today is Reunion, and I will be focusing on the album of Wavelength for today's episode. So why don't we get through the first song? I hope you guys enjoy this. Here we go.
Can you take me back when time was still an ally on our side? As we walked through the hall, it was all a blur of red and gold. Windows of light, so many endless waking nights.
That was Reunion by Emblematics. The next song is called Belinda. So why don't we get to it? Here we go.
I wanna see you standing there. When I look through the door, I can't, I won't wanna think. Such a sight to behold. But can you loosen your grip around my heart? Another day now, just passing me by. Only 24 hours until I get another pull.
That was Belinda by Emblematics. I hope you guys enjoyed that song. The next song I have for you guys is called Black Candle. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. Here we go.
Can't you see?
The next song I have for you guys is called Roses. The one before that was called Black Candle. All right, so why don't we get through the song Roses for now? That was Roses by Emblematics. The last song I have for you guys today is called Home, so I hope you guys enjoy this one, and here we go. That was Home by the Emblematics. I hope you guys enjoyed those songs. And if you're curious, please go check them out. Their songs are, you know, they're great. And as you guys can tell, it's a nice calming tone, some of them. And some of them are kind of more of a higher, more upbeat. But please go check them out. For the next couple of minutes, I will actually be going through some fun facts. Today's topic is brownies. And actually, brownie, I really, really want to try a cookie brownie cookie. A cookie brownie. where it's half cookie and half brownie. I believe Domino's sells them, but I mean, I can already imagine what it tastes like. It literally would just taste like a brownie and a cookie in one bite. But, you know, it's, I don't know, it just seems delicious. So I would definitely want to try it out. But why don't we get through the fun facts to end off for today? The first one is adding IE to the end of a word has been said to give a word a cuter feel. Interesting. I don't know if that's... So the name brownie was born or because they're brown, but then to make it more cute, they put an IE at the end. Interesting. I am actually reading off from a article from chopgrayston.org, so I don't know. Thank you for these fun facts, but that's very interesting. I didn't know that IE had that purpose of making things sound cuter. But the next one is, blondies are a variation of brownies that do not contain chocolate. Which is weird because I don't know how a brownie would be considered a brownie without chocolate. Because it seems like brownies, the majority formation of a brownie is actually the ingredient of chocolate. So that's very interesting. The next one is, the largest brownie ever made weighed in at 3,000 pounds and was served at the Hudson Valley Chocolate Festival in 2001. I do not... So apparently it was 850 pounds of sugar, 750 pounds of chocolate chips, 500 pounds of butter, 500 pounds of flour, and 3,500 eggs. That is insane. The recipe, you can just cut that recipe by 1,000 next time you're baking. That is insane. All right. The next one is, brownies typically have 5 standard ingredients, flour, sugar, eggs, butter, and chocolate, but not all brownies are made equal. A Grayston bakery were perfected. We've perfected. Oh, okay. So it's talking about their brownies. But they say that they make their brownies with plant-based ingredients. I would definitely like to do a comparison of a brownie without plant-based ingredients and then a brownie with plant-based ingredients. I'm sure that they both taste amazing. I mean, I've made some very low-calorie, high in protein, simple brownie, or I'd say banana muffins, where you just put a banana, 2 eggs, and a scoop of protein powder. You throw it in the oven for maybe 12 minutes, 13 minutes at 350, and they come out as, you know, mini muffins. But, I mean, it tastes okay, but it's not to the point where I would, you know, have it all the time. So, I don't know. Maybe this is good, maybe it's not, but I don't know. I just always feel like I gravitate more towards just, you know, just the original ingredients, you know, the good old, you know, sometimes processed stuff. But yeah, I mean, I guess there's some plant-based ingredients that you can make brownies with, and I've never tried it, so maybe, hopefully, one day I will. The next one is, brownies actually have 2 of their own holidays, knocking every other holiday out of the park. There's a National Brownie Day on December. Oh my goodness! National Brownie Day is actually on my birthday. That's so insane. That is so insane. Now I can tell people that it's my birthday, but it's also National Brownie Day. That's so exciting. And the next one is, Brownie Day is on February 10th. So if you want a brownie, maybe have it on those 2 days, I guess because it's special, but that's insane. All right, that's it for today's show. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. The sun is out. It has been insanely rainy for the past couple weeks, and so it's always very welcoming to see the bright sunlight coming through. So I hope you guys have a chance to go outside and enjoy the sun. Good luck, everybody, with the rest of your midterms. And finals are coming up. I don't want to make a big heads up, but good luck on those as well. And I hope you guys have a lovely, lovely afternoon, everyone. Goodbye.